This morning is Anzac Day. This morning, my wife and me, we were at our driveway with some of the neighbors to observe Anzac Day. Lest we forget the men and women who have sacrificed their life in order for us to have freedom. What we are enjoying today is because someone has paid their life. Why don't we just pray for those families and for those who are still in place serving this nation? Let's pray. Father, we want to commit the servicemen and the servicewomen before you. We want to commit the family before you, God, that you will give them protection, you will give them the grace, you will help them, Lord, that you will be their strength, the Lord, that they will recognize your love, your care, your protection, oh God, that our hearts will be open to you. We pray, Father, for those commanders that are leading these men, Lord, that you will grant them wisdom so that they will lead them in a safe way. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of men and women who has laid their life. And Lord, we remember that you yourself had also laid your life for us, O God. May our hearts always be grateful and thankful towards them and towards you. So I pray for your blessing over them and over their family and their children. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. What a great day to be alive. Let me just give you a few announcements. The tithes and offering, you can send it through internet banking. The details are in the website. And this Saturday at 4 p.m., unless the lockdown is extended, at 4 p.m., the salt and light will be coming together. We're going to teach them how to make noodles. And then we want the parents from the salt and light to join us for dinner after that. And we're starting our Zoom study. The theme for the Zoom study is Follow Me to Change. Yes, Jesus said, follow me, be like me. So our Zoom study on this Friday, 7th of May at 7:30 by Pastor Kelvin Lee, the senior pastor, the former senior pastor of Grace Assembly Singapore. We are going to do about individual unbelief versus conscience. We have this four Zoom study. First is on individual. Second is on family. Third is on culture. And fourth is on nation. And I believe that you will be blessed. Let's come to the Word of God. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 is a very popular Sunday school story. It's a story that will thrill any child when they hear of these three Hebrews. Not three amigos, but three Hebrews named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How God delivered them from the furnace. You see, Daniel 3 tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar somehow, got too big in his head. That's the thing about success. Success can make you think that you are some big person. So this king got something so big in his head that he decided that he will build an image of himself. Not just a small statue, but a big image of himself. And then when he built this image, he called all his officials to come in the time when he was going to dedicate this image. And then a decree was passed that every time when the music plays, whether it's the flute, or the trumpet, whatever music, when it is played at that time, everyone, young and old, male and female, everyone must bow down to this image. He must think that he is such an important person that he ought to be worshipped. And the decree also say, those that do not bow down will be thrown into the furnace. The first time the music played, everybody bowed, except these three Hebrew. And you know one thing, when you live for God, there are always people who do not like you. There's always people who spy on you. And so those who did not like them spy on them and report to the king and say, look, king, you have made this decree that when the music play, everyone must bow to this image of you. But there are three persons, there's three Hebrews that refuse to bow to you when the music play. So the king was furious. How can you don't respect me? I'm such an important person. So the king called three of them, the three Hebrews, to come before him. And he told them, it is said that you do not bow when the music plays. I'm going to give you another chance. And this time, when the music plays, I want you to bow and worship this image. But when the music plays, the three Hebrews still did not bow. And the king was furious, and he asked his stronger men to bind this tree, and he asked his people to fire up the furnace 7 times hotter and throw these three Hebrews into the furnace. You know, when they open up the door of the furnace to throw the tree, because the heat was so big, 7 times more than what it was, that even the soldier that who threw them in were even killed. And this tree was thrown into this furnace fire. But to the king's surprise, he saw the fourth person walking with them. He was amazed. And the king realized that the fourth person must be the God of these three Hebrews. He got them out. And the king himself said, no God is like the God of these three Hebrews, because they have chosen to serve God. And I want you to know that this story is more than just God's deliverance. It's about three Hebrews that has displayed incredible confidence, that boldness, that the assurance that their God will deliver them. Even they say, if God does not deliver us, it's okay. But they were not bound to this image. They stand against a powerful earthly king. A king that is so powerful that through his words, life and death can happen. They stand against this powerful king. Even they know the consequences for not bowing to the image of the king. As we watch our world is getting from bad to worse by the day. It's not getting better. We have lockdown, pandemic, riot here, riot there. As we watch our world, we find that the Western world has become liberal. Is it becoming liberal, or has it become anti-God, anti-Christian? There are laws passed each year that make it more and more difficult for us to become light in the darkness and salt of influence. The world hates Jesus. Get used to it. If you are in the bus with Jesus, let me tell you, if the world hate the master, they will also hate you. Don't expect the world to love you. The line is going to be drawn clearer and clearer between the disciple of Jesus and the followers of benefit. When these things happen, when the going gets tough for us, we need God confidence. God's confidence give us the boldness to remain strong, to stand on track, to have the courage, even in time of pressure, pain, and problem. They will not topple us because we have God's confidence. But God's confidence is not a set cement. It is possible to lose it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. The Bible tells us that when we have confidence in God, when we have God's confidence, there is great reward for us. We all want reward, but we need reward from God's confidence. What happened when God's confidence is lost? Then we will freely say, I can't, I'm afraid. Then we will have this attitude of being negative, dispirited. I will not be willing to try and to stand up. When Israel lost God's confidence, they saw themselves as hopeless grasshopper. How you like that? God that delivered them with a mighty hand, God that did so many things for them, showed them how great they are. But when they lost their God confidence, they saw themselves as grasshopper. And they cry out, why? Why, God? We are familiar with the account of Israel. We need not self-confidence. We need what confidence? We need God confidence. Self-confidence is based on what you have, who you are, and what you think of yourself. And when you have self-confidence, you have this eye. This eye becomes so big, and this eye is like a balloon that is being blown by air. But I tell you what, hot air does not last for long and does not last forever. When the eye comes crashing down, then you realize self-confidence is not enough. It was self-confidence of King Saul that caused him to do what he could not and he should not do, sacrificing the offering to the Lord. It was a self-confidence of David that caused him to stay at home when his men went out in the battlefield. It was the self-confidence of Hezekiah that caused him to show his wealth. He tell everybody, look at what I have. But he forgot that everything that he have was given to him by God. It was the self-confidence of Peter that said to Jesus, all others would deny you, but not me. I will die for you. Self-confidence do not last forever, and it do not last long. And Peter failed miserably. I want you to tell you, beware of self-confidence. So what is God confident? God confident means you are depending on God and His strength to handle the things that are coming into your life. Paul warned us in his life that he put no confidence in the flesh, though he has every reason for such confidence. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 4, we put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. That's what Paul said. If you think you can, I can more. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own effort, I have even more. Paul said, I do not put confidence in myself. He said that the confidence we have must be God confident. That is God empowered, God inspired, and God based on who He is. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 to verse 5. Such confidence as this is ours through Jesus Christ before God. Now that we are competent in ourselves, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competency comes from God. That's right. Paul is saying that I can because of Christ. It's not because of myself. I don't depend on self-confidence. I depend on God's confidence. For all that you see in me, all that you see what I can do and what I have accomplished, all that you can see how far I've gone in my life for Christ is because of Christ in me. Because of the confidence I have in God. But King Nebuchadnezzar allowed self-confidence to eat him up. He was so overconfident and pride took his heart that he constructed an image in this story to be worshipped. I remember the day I saw Michael Jackson, not that I saw him in person. I saw him on a video at Harvey Norman window. I was walking past and I saw this video. And in this video, Jackson built an image of himself. An image as big as what Nebuchadnezzar would have built. And he put this image on a wagon. And there were people pulling this wagon. And as this wagon of the image of Michael Jackson, as this wagon moved, there were people on the left and the right. When they saw this image, they bowed down and they worshiped him. I saw this image, this video, and I tell myself, this man is out of line. Worship belongs only to God. Not soon after that, Michael began to behave very weird and more weirder. It was a downward path for him. The three Hebrews have God confident. What is God confident? Is this: in God we trust. Say this with me: in God we trust. I'm not talking about the American dollar. I'm talking about the Creator God, the God that make us. Is in God we trust. When you have God confident, you say, God, my trust is in you. My hope is in you. My faith is in you. Everything of myself is based only on one person, and that is in you. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 to verse 8 say, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. Amen. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who has confidence in God. He has no worries at all. In the years of drought, and never fear to bear fruits. These three Hebrews, their view was not self-confident, but God-confident. And it makes a difference when it comes to facing the demand, the pressure, and the threat that comes upon your life. How about you? Do you have God-confident? Do you know what to do in difficult situations? Or you just hope that you will pass? Do you know where wisdom comes from for making tough decisions? Can you stand when someone else is bowing? Some of us may experience the erosion of God's confidence. Only reason known to you. It is time to rebuild your God confidence and become unmovable, unshakable, and don't let any setback in your life. But with God confident, you can pick yourself up and get on with life. The God confidence seen in these three Hebrews can be yours. Can be yours. How can it be yours? The three keys to God confidence. Key number one. Know who you belong to. These three Hebrews knew that they belong to God. This is what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. It's in the inscription of God. The Lord knows those who are His, and all who belong to Him must turn away, depart from evil. This is what these three Hebrew knows. They knew that they belonged to God. And because they belonged to God, then they had to do one thing. They had to depart from evil. Therefore, you find that in chapter 1, when they were prisoner to the Babylonian, they choose to honor God. They choose to put God first. They choose not to do the things that the other people were doing. They say, we are going to be different. And one thing you need to know, brothers and sisters, God has called us to be different from the world. And you need to know you belong to Him. You do not belong to the world. You do not belong to the nation. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to God. So this three Hebrew recognize they belong to God. So from chapter 1, they know they belong to God and they stand firm to what they believe. And now when you come to chapter 3, they refuse to bow to the image of the king. They belong to God. You and I, we belong to God. He created us and gave us everything that is essential for life. Everything that we enjoy, everything that we have, our health, our house, our blessing, everything that we have, our children, our grandchildren, they are a gift from God. And God is the one who gives to us and sustain it. And because they knew they belong to God, it was not up to the king to decide whether they live or die. When you know you belong to God, it gives you God's confidence. God's confidence that He will lead you in the right place. He will come to you in the nick of time. He will fight for you and protect you. He will give you the best. Your life is in His hand. This three Hebrew was living with this important knowledge. They belong to God. When you live every day knowing you belong to God, your well-being, your success is in God's hand. It is God's responsibility. You can have this God confidence to face anything before you. God's confidence is not based on your performance. It's based on God's performance. And He is good and faithful. When you know you belong to Him, and you have this God confidence that will enable you to withstand any test, overcome any obstacle, recover any setback, because you have this God confidence that God is here for you. He will never change. He will never fear. He will never leave you or forsake you. This morning, whatever you're going through, know this, you belong to God. He is for you, He is with you, and He is in you. You are His precious treasure. The Bible says we are the apple of His eye. We are His treasure. And I want you to be assured, God knows how to look after His treasure. Don't look down in discouragement, in fear and despair. Don't look around for hope, for answer. Look up. I know that God is your confidant. And when He becomes your confidant in His unchanging character, you can say, like what Proverbs 3 verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidant and will keep your foot, your step, from being caught or captured in a trap. Today, make God your confidence. You belong to Him. Why were these people, these three Hebrews, so willing to say no to the king. Because they make God the focus of their worship. When you look at Daniel chapter 3, 11 times the word worship is used. Everybody worship. We may worship God or a God, or even worship ourselves. We may worship pleasure. We may worship material things. Worship is something or someone that you put on the pedestal as the object of your affection and adoration. This morning, who and what is on your pedestal? We belong to God. We worship Him who revealed Himself to us in His written word, the Bible, and revealed to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. God is the focus of their worship. Who you worship is who you belong to. When we worship things, goal, ability, career, and success, they own us and they become our confidence, our security, our identity, and our meaning to life. And when they are taken away, our confidence will be shaken to the very core of our soul. We lose confidence when God is not the focus of our worship. Make God the focus of your worship. Nothing can move us when God is the very assist, very reason for us being alive, for us being here. Be like Job. Job 31 verse 24 to 28, he said, "If I have made gold my hope, my confidence, and trust, or say to find gold, you are my confidence. If I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because my hands had gained much, if I have observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be iniquity deserving of judgment, for I have denied God who is above." What a way to live our life. God, my whole life is one of worship, and you are the purpose of my worship. You are the focus of my worship. Job himself said, "I will not allow anything that I have, even success, I will not even kiss my own hand. God, you will be my worship." You know, until today, the devil is still leading men and women to a high place of achievement, success, and fame. How does he do it? He offers them gold, gold, and more gold. Everything before your eyes, just like the devil offered Jesus on the mountaintop. What is the catch? The catch is this. In exchange, the devil demands their worship to him. Jesus' answer to the devil was this. "Worship only belongs to God, and God Him alone I will serve." And he said to the devil, "Get it behind me." I think some of us have to say to the devil, "Get it behind me." Because it is so easy to lose focus on why we are here. To lose focus on the one we worship. You see, these three Hebrews recognize that worship belongs only to one person, and that is the Creator God, the one who makes them. And these three Hebrews have a covenant with God, and God has a covenant with them. Sometime in our mind, we may have this thought, what do I benefit from worshiping God? Worship is never about you. Worship is about God. It's about putting God in the center of your life. When God becomes the center of your life for whatever you say and do, your whole life rotates about Him being the center. That is where your confidence comes from. I encourage you I encourage you that these three Hebrews told the king, I believe God will deliver us. But even if God will not deliver us, we are not going to bow down to the idol, to this image. How about you? Do you live your life with God as a center? Do you live your life as a worship, that everything you do is a worship to God? Lastly, their God confident came because they seek the presence of God. When the three Hebrews said no to King Nebuchadnezzar, he was furious because he has no control over them. He felt challenged. Therefore, he threw them into the fire. It was the king himself who noticed the presence of the fourth person with them. Don't you know that Jesus said that I am with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you? When you go for a job interview, he is there with you. When you have to answer for what is right when others are doing wrong, he is there with you. In the most difficult and most testing time, even if you got an appointment with a doctor, you are afraid of what the result may be, he is there with you. That's the confidence that we have this abiding presence. And these three Hebrews recognize that I have the presence of God with us, that we have God's presence. And when the king saw the fourth person, he said this, praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They trust in him and defy the king's command and were willing to give up their life rather than to serve or worship any God except their God. Brothers and sisters, this is the commitment to God's confidence. Whether I live or I die, it is God. Whether I have or I don't have, it is God. Whether I have much or little or nothing, it is God. I have God. The King James Version put it this way, that they yield their body. That this tree was willing to yield their body to God for his cause, for his glory. It ties up to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. These three Hebrews would rather sacrifice their body than sacrifice God's presence in their life. What we see in these three Hebrews, we see happening repeated millions of times in church history. And it's still happening in our world today. Christians would rather be martyred than give up their walk with Christ. Sometimes God miraculously delivers them, just like these three Hebrews in our story. But more often, they are persecuted, tortured, starved, beaten, and killed. Unless you have experienced the presence of Jesus Christ in your life, you do not understand the kind of God's confidence. Jesus himself said, one day when you have to stand before your persecutor, your accuser, do not worry of what to say. I will give you the words to say. You are never alone. You are never alone when you stand as a light. You are never alone when you stand as a salt, because he said, I am with you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man say to me? Oh, this is the confidence that we have. God's confidence said, God, you are my helper. I'm not afraid of anyone or anything or any circumstances. What can man do to me? David, in Psalm 71, verse 5, he said this, for you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. I'm telling you, young people, youth, children, for us who are at this age, no matter what age you are, you need to experience what David said. God, you have been my confidence. I hold on to you, God, David said, for the good, for the tough time, for the difficult time, for the testing time. I hold on to you because you are my confidence. I want you to know, we need God's confidence, not self-confidence, and definitely not overconfident. David, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 to verse 7, was his closing statement. And in this closing statement, he made a grand statement, a declaration about his confidence in a God who is unfailing, in a God who is gracious to fulfill his covenant promise to him. This is what we need, God confident. No matter what we go through, we can say, I hold on to God. My confidence will not be shaken because God is my confidence and God can never be shaken. God can never be moved. So when I am in his hand, I am safe, I am secure. Just like the three Hebrews that display God's confidence because they belong to God. You belong to him. You do not belong to yourself. You do not belong to others. You belong to him. And to these three Hebrews, everything about their life is worship. And worship is about putting God in the center. The focus is God, not on themselves. They trust. They trust in his presence. God's confidence in the future is strengthened by you remembering the past. What God did for you yesterday, he will do for you today and tomorrow. The God who was for you, with you, and in you yesterday can do it again and again, no matter how hard, how difficult, how testing may be. Let's have God confidence. Put your confidence not in what you have, not in what you think you are. Put your confidence in God. And you will not be disappointed. Let us pray. For those who are at home, maybe this lockdown has come as a shock to you. We just pray that it do not get extended. But we are not people whose life are being fired up, dictated by what is happening around. Things around us can change anytime. We are people who have put our confidence for the foundation of God stood firm. Its inscription unremovable. The Lord knows those that believe in him. Those that are his. This is the confidence that you must have. So this morning, whatever you are going through, have God's confidence. He is with you, he is for you, and he is in you. Father, I pray. I pray for your people, Lord. Lord, I pray that they'll put their confidence in you, that you will increase the God confidence that is in them, that they will be able to see the power of your hand, the grace upon grace in their life, O God. Lord, when they see you and know you, Lord, may they be so strong in their confidence in you, the Lord, that they are able to withstand what comes upon them. Lord, I thank you that your words have said, you know those that belongs to you. We belong to you, God. And we choose, God, not only to belong to you, we choose to depart from any way that displeases you. So I pray for your Holy Spirit to inspire, God inspire confidence, God empower confidence, God base confidence in each one of us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.